time that kids revealed their hearts online. Made no records of our crime, we just ran free, and that was fine, and that was fine, and that was fine. We are the kids who always swim when we're pushed in. We have our fight, we have our friends when we're pushed in.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. The Fremonts blend Americana music and storytelling with a cabaret aesthetic. After sold-out performances of their original cabaret in New York City, Colorado, Massachusetts, and at the Edinburgh Fringe, plus a tour through Tajikistan as cultural ambassadors with the U.S. State Department, the Fremonts retreated into the studio to develop an album of fresh songs. And then life showed up to derail that plan, as life so often does. They decided instead to re-record their two original albums, and we'll talk to them about how they reached that decision and what that has meant for them. As a partner piece to their updated albums, the Fremonts released a music video of their song Ketamine Happy Hour, a comic reflection of their experiences with alternative therapies for depression. Both albums and the music video were released on all streaming platforms last Friday. That's not exactly true. The albums are on all streaming platforms. The video is on YouTube. Okay. The Fremonts are performing at the Apple Tree Inn in Lenox, Massachusetts on Friday, and at Tilda's Kitchen and Market in Kingston, New York on Friday, August 8th, with other dates in Stockbridge, Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Beckett throughout August. More information is on their website, thefremontsmusic.com. Stephanie Dodd and Justin Badger, welcome back. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to be here.
So I alluded or mentioned outright in my lead that life messed you guys up for a bit. Tell us what you wish to share, and I shan't pry about what happened and how that led to wanting to re-record and revisit the songs you had already released.
Yes, well, if you've been to a Fremont show, you know that we love to overshare and we love to talk about ourselves.
It's all part of the brand.
I saw a joke online yesterday that said TMI instead of too much information actually means tell me immediately.
Tell me immediately. And we will. We're very happy to. It's a lot cheaper than therapy to talk about ourselves on the radio. Yeah. So here we are. It may shock you because we are so youthful looking. We hit middle age. We hit it really, really hard.
Welcome. It comes in like a bang.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Basically from like 30 to 45, we thought we were 25 years old. Yep. And then we just aged 20 years.
Yeah, it's like one morning you wake up and it's like, hi. Yeah.
Everything hurts everyone's parents are passing away.
I know.
It all happens. And now we all have a rheumatologist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Number of specialists.
Number of specialists. So, yeah. So we went through a lot of like classic midlife tribulations. Our house started falling down. We had to go through this major house renovation.
It's so stressful.
Our body started falling apart.
We did some body renovations.
We went through a fertility fiasco. We lost our beloved dog child very suddenly.
Terrible.
So, it was a rough couple of years. We just dealt with life. And then finally, the air cleared enough for us to want to make another creative project. But when we listened back to our first two albums, we thought,
yee. Well, look, there's a lot to love about the first two albums. The musicians who played on them are fantastic. Yeah. And our producer and our engineer, they just worked their butts off to make us sound really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
We just weren't really stoked on the way that we sang the songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
We both have musical theater training, which is great when you want to sing on stage. It doesn't necessarily train you to sing in the studio that well. So we sounded like a couple musical theater nerds trying really hard to be in a band.
I see.
It was annoying.
And you could hear that, but it was a younger effort.
Yeah. Youthfuler. Yeah.
So you look back with hopefully grace on your younger selves, but want to put out a better album.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing is, like, now we're hitting these years that, like, Bill Burr has a joke about these are the drop dead years, and it could happen at any time. And so we were like, if we drop dead, this is what they're going to play at our funerals.
Yeah. So and we didn't want to annoy ourselves beyond the grave, so.
Oh, great. Another thing to worry about.
I know.
The afterlife.
So that brought us back into the studio to re-record all the vocals and beef up some of the songs with some new instrumentation, and those are now the versions that are out in the world.
Yeah.
Do the stories of the songs as you revisited them and re-sang them still hold up, or Or did you modify any lyrics? How did you experience your own music as you really... I mean, you've been performing it. It's not like you were absent from it for since you recorded it last.
Sure.
But as you really dive back in thinking about the legacy of it all, how did the music feel to you?
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, a lot of... fortunately and unfortunately, a lot of the songs are relevant still, or even more relevant. Like, there was one song we wrote in 2017. There was an American eclipse happening that went straight across the country, and it was right at the moment where we were all starting to be worried about the Supreme Court.
Yep.
So I wrote this song called Fear of Consequences.
That's the eclipse for everybody at home that the president looked directly at.
Yes, that is.
Thank you for reminding us of that. That is correct. Yeah. So it was a shaky moment of time. I wrote a song that kind of reflected those feelings, and revisiting it, I was like, yeah, this is.
It's almost more relevant now, which feels not good.
We were also going through a time when we recorded the album We Don't Live There, where we were leaving New York City and kind of our dreams of being professional actors. We were kind of leaving that behind. We moved out west to Boulder to try to find a new life, a new way of being. And we had a lot of feelings about that big change. It felt like just a huge...
it was like a tectonic shift for us.
Of course.
Yeah.
And so revisiting that, now that we've made another tectonic shift since then, now that we've relocated to the Berkshires, which does feel like our forever home, there's a sense of gratitude, a lot of gratitude for finding such a place that we love so much, but also a lot of mourning for past periods of our lives that did feel lighter. And more youthful, you know, where we didn't worry about the Supreme Court all of the time.
Yeah, so I do think that that does carry on at least into the vocal performances of these songs. There is a little bit more, I think, as we try to pull away from a more performative style of singing, what you get, at least what I hope comes across, is what we're aiming for, a more authentic sound that came more from us, as opposed to like, I'm going to sing something that I think sounds great. I'm going to do a belt right now so everyone knows that I can hit this note really hard, and that's no longer the goal.
No.
It's like, what's the authentic story you want to tell? And now that we've visited, you know, what's almost 10 years later since we wrote some of those songs, it's a completely different feeling when it comes out of you, which has been really interesting to revisit.
Are the two albums, the songs on the two albums, grouped in your mind as certain periods, different stories? Are there a different like mode or feel on each record, or is it kind of cumulative, the Fremont's tale?
I definitely think that the songs on We Don't Live There were heavily inspired by our location. You know, living in Colorado, you can't get away from folk music and alt country and bluegrass. So that is all very present on that first album.
And marmots.
And marmots. Right. That's
which
very true.
Which
especially
I love.
Go up above the tree line. They're just everywhere, you know. We actually had a few in the studio with us, too. They're doing the hand claps on the song Holding Place.
It's
the cutest.
AI.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
So, it was AI. The AI marmots.
Oh, sorry for derailing you.
Yo.
I will tend to with a critter mention.
So those songs very much still feel in that folk country genre. Mm-hmm. And as we moved on to do the Failure Cabaret, Steph introduced the accordion to the group. So the style of music and the style of playing definitely changed to a more cabaret jazz aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to what the songs are about, I don't necessarily know that I can group them. I think that the songs on the Failure Cabaret album fit into what that show was, but they aren't necessarily separately grouped from We Don't Live There. I don't know. What would you say to that?
No, I think you did a good job of explaining it. The first album is much more country folk. The second album's more cabaret theatrical.
Speaking of aesthetics, the your sort of promotional material right now and the video, Ketamine Happy Hour, you have kind of alter ego characters. They're red and black and white, very costumey and bold and cartoony, but also, you know, clownish and all of those things at once. But also it's very cool, like a very good look. I have the postcard, the email is on my desk. It's probably going to stay on my desk because it's aesthetically very rad. How did you sort of find these? Are they alter ego characters for you? How did you land on the aesthetic?
Yes. Well, this is a sort of an example of the costume creating the world. We knew we wanted to do a lot of red. We just felt like we wanted to reclaim the color red and make it really sparkly and fun and lively and vibrant. And also during the time that I was doing ketamine treatments for depression, which inspired that song,
yes,
a lot of the visions I was having were a lot of red. And so I was looking for a red sequin dress. And so I called my friend Vicky Bonington, who is kind of a clothing collector. And I was like, do you have anything like this? And she said, oh, come to my closet.
She said, of course.
She said, I have so many things like that. So I went to her closet. She pulled some things for me. And one of them was the dress that you see in the video, which is this, like, it has this huge crinoline. It has
a sort of evocative Marie Antoinette sort of shape, not design, but kind of real gowny.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's really over the top. Red and white striped. And the skirt, I don't know if you could see it, but it has all skulls and roses, mm-hmm, which we were like, oh, this is kind of perfect, because we've been kicking around this idea that this collection of songs is like the music for our funerals. Just
right.
The playlists are prepared,
yes,
if anything happens. So we were like, skulls and roses is perfect. So she let me borrow that dress along with a wig that was made by a circus designer in New Orleans. And as soon as we saw that, plus we put a big headpiece on it, mm-hmm, we were like, okay, we're going kind of Alice in Wonderland, like the flip side of the world, the flip side of our lives, which really applied to us because we do work corporate day jobs. So we are like...
I'm sorry. One must.
Thank you for... Wait,
yeah, I mean, it does support the art.
Afford your art in your house.
Exactly.
Falling apart.
Yes, thank goodness. We love our corporate day jobs.
Oh, no, yes.
Thank you for the corporate day jobs. But sometimes sometimes it's not the most fun. And so the concept for the video was partially us sort of in our day jobs and partially us sort of in the ketamine fever dream of how we feel inside and how our creative expressions show themselves. So this is a long way of saying, yes, the look kind of created a lot of the world.
Yeah. It was a concept of necessity.
Yeah.
the dress then lead you to, you do some very fun choreography of like bouncing inside of the dress kind of. It's, you know, really made you seem otherworldly.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I felt otherworldly. Also, before we filmed that part, I like drank a full Coca-Cola as fast as I could because I wanted to feel crazy.
It worked. Being off camera watching her perform was kind of brilliant. It's funny because you can't tell it because obviously the volume is turned down, but in all of her shots, whenever she is the queen, she's making noises.
Sure.
So as I was editing it, I was constantly full of every noise that you might expect to come out of her mouth when you watch the video. I'm hearing it as I'm editing it, and it is the most brilliant soundscape I think I've ever spent time listening to over and over and over again.
That's what happens when you're editing.
I know.
I mean,
there's
no way to avoid hearing it so many times.
Oh my gosh, yes. Thank you for editing that. I'm so glad I didn't have to edit that because I would have lost my mind watching myself. But so the caffeine and corn syrup combination is a really a strong performance tool.
Okay.
And secondly, like having a huge crinoline that you can hide inside is just so fun. And also being in a wig, I really did start to feel like another person. And it was a great way to channel this like playful but also kind of aggressive energy that I've been feeling that I don't really have a good place for it in my normal life, in my corporate day job. And so this was like a wonderful place to put it.
What's next? What are we working on next? You have these shows in August all over the region.
Yeah, we have these shows in August. We've got about 6 shows starting this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like you said, you can check them all out on our website. And then we're going to take a tiny little break. We do have a set of songs that could make a new album.
Okay.
And as we were prepping the demos for that, that ended up really getting us listening to the old albums and brought us into that whole conversation. So
yeah,
there is more music waiting for us in the future. So these shows that we're doing, you know, are sort of our way of not only doing honor to the re-release, but also building back up the coffers to get ready to record again.
Mm-hmm.
And how will you build your set lists for these shows? And will they vary from performance to performance, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're working up a lot of new stuff. I mean, I have been trying to do some stand-up.
Cool.
So we've been practicing as many jokes as possible.
That's a good thing to do.
Do you think so?
I do, because everything's serious. And it's so hard and heavy. So, like,
I know.
Try to do some jokes.
Yeah.
So, like, when you go see music, do you like it when the musicians talk between songs?
I don't mind it. Yeah. If you can understand them, I like it.
Mm. Yeah. Oh yeah, because sometimes it's like really loud.
Yeah. And if everybody's just yelling "Freebird," then I'm like, stop that part. But when the musicians are, yeah, especially if you know it's when they're it's a little bit revelatory or human, I do like that as a music fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Cause like not everybody loves that, you know, like, I love it when people talk, but I love cabaret,
right?
You know? And I like to think of every show we do as a little cabaret and as a like storytelling possibility. I mean, St. Vincent, it says in her masterclass, any moment you're on stage is part of the show. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we'll be funny. Hopefully we'll wear crazy costumes and sing well together. Those are our goals.
Those are the hopes.
TheFremontsMusic.com for more information to keep track of the dates and check out the albums and the videos. First performance is at the Apple Tree Inn, 7 p.m., Lenox, Massachusetts. That's this Friday. The next show is in Kingston next Friday, and there are more dates following throughout the month. This has gone too quickly, as it always does.
Always.
I'm so happy to have seen you, and congratulations on the re-releases.
Thanks so much for having us again.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.